So here is pride and arrogance. And as the church has gone on down through the ages, the church has done dastardly things to the nation of Israel. We had Barry Horner spend the whole camp with us, going through the history of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the professing church, the monolithic big church that rolled down through the ages, the organized church, and how it has treated the nation of Israel. No wonder Jewish people draw back when they hear the name Jesus, because the pogroms were performed under a crucifix and in the name of Jesus. No wonder. No wonder. Early developments. Yes, that was the charge brought against the Jewish people, Christ killers. Because you've killed our Christ, we are going to kill you. That has been the attitude of the organized Christian church down through the ages. Praise God for the exceptions down through the ages. We'd love to talk about that sometime. Now, this indicates an early development of some pride and arrogance that comes here. And as our notes indicate, point C, if you're following the notes, this truth should have been a deterrent. That is the one that we just read in verse 25 when he said, "What about your opinions, Gentiles, your superiority as Christians?" This truth should have been a deterrent for the early church to turn away from developing what became known as replacement theology in the second century. So what happened in the second century AD was the seed here that we read, a seed was sown and it began to grow of anti-Semitism, of Gentile superiority, even over their fellow believers. And that has gone on for 2,000 years. Dear brothers and sisters, I have to say the church is where you are, mostly in our district, the Sydney of Sydney, subscribe to replacement theology, that there is no future for the nation of Israel, that God has cast them aside. What is happening in Israel today is of no consequence in the plan of God. It's just another nation that got their independence in the world. I remember a workmate of mine many years ago. "What's so important and so wonderful about that, Ron? Uganda and Rwanda, they're South African, they've got their independence. And you've got their independence. Now Israel's finally got some place to live. What of it?" No great significance, Ron. Ah, yes, there is some significance. Never, ever in the history of mankind has one nation lost their nation and lost it for thousands of years and then finally got it again. Unequaled in human history. God's doing something. But unfortunate, here is this replacement theology poison. Brothers and sisters, amillennialism and replacement theology is not just the end of a systematic system. You know, we study theology, we go Bible, God, man, salvation. So then eschatology at the end, tacked on the end. The way you interpret the scriptures is the way that affects the whole of your Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22. We believe in the grammatical, historical interpretation. That is, you read the Bible in a normal way. Amillennialism and replacement theology, when it comes to eschatology, they spiritualize it, they allegorize it. And so Israel ends up becoming the church. And in the early versions of the King James Version, and we perhaps have them in our home, you find that when you read the book of Isaiah, for each chapter heading, you see the church suffering and so on. It's not the church, it's the nation of Israel. I remember one of our Bible teachers used to say, remember it is the text of the scripture that is not inspired, that is inspired, and not the headings on the chapter that the publisher puts in. Yeah, and in the early King James you find that there, because they were Anglicans and they were into replacement theology. No, God has a place for all of these people in his plans, Israel and the church. But this blinding and this hardening, praise the Lord, it is only temporal and it is only partial. You see, that's what Paul says, here I am. Has God cast away his people? No, here I am. Here I am, and the Lord Jesus came to me personally. So there are some who are redeemed, there are some who are lost. It's partial. It's not complete. And this blindness was the secret that the Apostle Paul reveals. We don't have all of this unfolding in the Old Testament. It's only as we come to the New Testament we do. This blindness, hardening as a secret, is partial and temporary for the nation of Israel. So in verse 24 we read, for if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? I don't want you to be ignorant about this, brothers. It is only in part until. You see those words there? 25. I do not you desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this secret, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part, partial, has happened to Israel until temporary. Until what? Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. This blindness, point A in our notes, what is this blindness? Well, we do have Old Testament preparation here. We're aware of this. For instance, back in the book of Isaiah and in the 6th chapter, we find this revealed about Isaiah's contemporaries and how God was rejecting them and hardening them and blinding them. And this is taken up by the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel writers to explain what was happening in Jesus' day. We discussed that this morning. The offer and the rejection of the kingdom. And this is the scriptures that are quoted. There are many scriptures that deal with these things. The famous calling of Isaiah the prophet. Verse 8, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. That's the lovely response of Isaiah, having seen the glory of God.